You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Biggie on AM 1510 WWBC, right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We can also be heard on the World Wide Web at, and
hey,
here's
that
Paul.
Was my job. He's supposed to let me. And it's raining out, too.
Is it?
So we're on the web at 1510wbc.com. I just checked right now, and our stream is going well on there, so people all over the world can join us that way.
I have to tell you, it comes in pretty clear, because I've listened to it myself.
CD quality sounds.
Got it, it is. Sound. When I was in Trinidad, I listened, and the show was like, I was sitting right there. I was like, all my cousins were listening. It was wonderful. So, Paul, thank you for being here today. Ellen is taking a day off. As usual, we meet here every Monday. This studio has become like an extension of my living room, where I'm able to meet with quality guests and speak in an unscripted, fun, educational, and very informative manner to all our listeners who tune in every week on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. All our shows are posted on the Sita Media Inc. website, and Ellen Little takes care of that for us. Today we have a really good show planned. My really good friend Laura Cheeseman is here. Laura is the president of First Wave Financial right here in Satellite Beach. Welcome. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Sita. Great to see you again.
And she brought her sister, Julie. Thank you for being here, Julie. You can say hello. Julie can say hello. She's waving. And Rochelle Hood, who is the founder of
Pink
Consultant is here. And Rochelle Hood, I like your name. It sounds like Robin Hood. I keep thinking it's Robin Hood. You're here as Laura brought you in for the hour because First Wave Financial is sponsoring this hour, and I'm glad to have you here.
It's a pleasure to be here. I've heard about this show for so long, and now I'm going to see it live in action.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
It is unscripted, and it's fun. But before we go to First Wave Financial and talk to Laura and Rochelle, you know, we always do something, Paul, on Mondays. We talk about what's going on currently in the country, right here in Brevard County and around the nation. And on everybody's mind is the pandemic. And what are we going to do as American citizens to do what we can to help each other, to help our brothers and sisters? And I would still say, as a nurse, I do advocate for wearing a mask. If you're not in your social bubble and you don't know where someone has been, wear your mask and socially distance and wash your hands. I do work in a nursing home, and I'm seeing where loneliness is not good for our residents. They're missing their families. I'd like to see our doors open again and people come in and hug and kiss and bring presents for Christmas, but it's not going to happen this year. This morning, I went to get a shot, and I saw a yellow school bus, and I tell you, I broke down. I'd like to see kids on that bus again. I want all the kids to go back to school because, you know, the economy is linked to healthcare. We all know when we feel good, we spend money, we make money. And I'm hoping my wish for Christmas is that this pandemic globally, just we can eradicate it. We really can. We can try, right? So that's what I'm hoping for Christmas. Laura, you have any wishes for Christmas?
Well, I'll second that. I hope for peace and health around the globe, and that we all, you know, stay supportive of each other and just try to work through the challenges that we're faced with. And, you know, I'm just really encouraged by some things that are going on in the world, and I see people out there doing good and helping others, and that's kind of the focus that we wanted to talk about today, positive transitions.
Yeah.
And, and helping people take the next step and whatever the next positive move in their life is. And I think there's such great opportunities for that. And so I just hope we can keep our eyes out and look for ways that we can do some good for each other in our own little pond.
Right. And Rochelle, you've traveled extensively. I mean, America is still the greatest country in the world, as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the American dream is alive and well. I believe it is. And I'm sure you probably have something in your heart that you would like to see for Christmas, too. We all love Christmas. I mean, I'm Hindu, but I celebrate Christmas. I absolutely love Christmas.
Yeah, I think that following on to what Laura says, you know, I speak regularly to my friends in the UK, and of course, they're the first to get the vaccine, and they're quite excited about that this week. So, get the jab, as they like to say in the UK. My wish for Christmas is, and I think pandemic has taught us a lot of things, but there's one thing I hope that it's taught all of us, it brings back to all of us at Christmas time this year, or whatever you celebrate this time of year, is to reflect on the little things in life and the big differences you can make in your own way. We might not all be in an economic situation that we can give money to donate a charity that we did before, but my mom used to say, and she's my biggest icon in my entire life, you might not always have money, but you always have your time and your talents. So this might be the year that it's the simple things, that giving someone a ride to work that they couldn't, you know, their car isn't working. Maybe I saw today, next door always is full of opportunities of, it just needs someone to help me load a TV in a car so I can take it to my son. Those little things add up in big ways, and it's that small act of kindness that we pass along and that can grow, and that we can reach inside ourselves now that the way we operate our days, the way we operate our time is so different this year. I hope we'll take that to appreciate those, to share those with others, and also go back to what I call some of the Christmas classics of just baking cookies and all those things
family.
We started to do at the beginning of the pandemic
that
we haven't done in years. And I think that will bring a spirit back and warm people's hearts in a way that all of the economies and all of the material things in life never could.
Right. Well, I would say if you have faith, family, food, friends, finances, and the ability to forgive, you're good. And that, to me, Christmas signals that too, and the end of the year. But I read something that a friend of mine, one of the Hindi movie stars, Amitabh Bachchan, I should give him a shout out for this. He put it on his social media. He says, it's not happy people who are thankful. It's thankful people who are happy. And I thought that was pretty deep. I liked it.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
He's like the world famous. You'll have to Google his name. If he says something, the stock market will stop. That's how great he is. He is. And it did.
Better get friendly.
Yes, yeah, we better. I know, I was on Facebook one day and I saw this singer in Israel with a picture with Amitabh Bachchan and herself. So I thought it was a Photoshop. So I just sent her a private message and I said, is that Photoshop? Are you really with him? And she says, yes. I was there in India. I'm like, what? What the? So we became friends. And she was in Tel Aviv in the airport calling me here in Melbourne, Florida, in my nightgown, speaking to me about her meeting with him in India. So I'll have to send you the link. It is.
Yeah,
so anyways, so Laura, now that we got that little bit out of the way, I'm going to have our listeners who are tuning in know a little bit about yourself and First Wave Financial. How'd you get started?
Great. Well, I've been in the financial services industry for many years. We say more than 25. It might be. Might have to update that number soon.
Yes.
But really, since the beginning of my career, I've been in financial services and helping great clients try to make smart decisions about their money. That's really what our focus is, to engage people in looking at their longer-term goals and try to help them accomplish those and live the great life that they've worked so hard to accomplish. So we... my firm has been in business for 25 years this year. It was last month in November was our 25th year in business. And we have been here in Brevard County. We work with about 200 or so special families and businesses in town and help them with everything that has to do with wealth management and goals and anything financial that tends to also drift into other parts of life because everything has a financial component to it, really, we found. And so I've been, I bought the firm 5 years ago, and I'm happy to be carrying on the traditions that we've had in place for all these years. It's going to be my 20th year next year that I've been with the firm.
Right. So. And you've got some dynamic people working with you as well.
I do.
You really do. How do you put a team together like that?
It's a real process. We put a lot of focus on it. We have a long interview process. Usually it can take 6 weeks or longer, like 2 months really, from the time we first start talking. So we really want to have people come on board who are in sync with our culture, which is really all about you. It's not about us, it's about you, it's about our clients, it's about the community. And we are kind of an entrepreneurial type firm, and some people are comfortable in that area, and other people like a more bureaucratic or I guess bureaucratic is the best word.
Right. Well, you also have a relationship with your clients too.
Sure. Yeah,
that's like the most important thing, right? So when people say, what is a wealth coach, what do you tell them?
Yeah, a wealth coach is someone who is dedicated to their clients' financial and well-being, peace of mind, and abundance in their lives. So that's our term at our firm for advisors, and underneath that umbrella comes the financial planning, investing. We have a whole process called the Wealth Care Solution that encompasses regular meetings and updates, and then being available for anything that our clients or their families need throughout the year to help them optimize their situations.
And you also help with tax planning and estate planning as well.
Yes. So we're not CPAs or attorneys, but we help lay the foundation for those regular recurring activities in people's lives every year. And we really like to consolidate information and then work really closely with other professionals in our client's life. So that helps to keep, you know, the team all playing together for the good of our clients.
Right. And you also help with asset planning.
Yes, investments and other, you know, debt plans, things like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
I bet you've had people that come into the office with boxes and boxes of paper, and then you have to put that together. That must be pretty difficult.
We invite that. We love boxes of paper.
Because a friend of mine told me once, when her stepfather died, they found that he had over like $200,000 in bonds and stocks and things that nobody had known he had invested in. And when they started going through all the paper, that's what happened at the end of the road. And they were like, wow, nobody knew.
Yeah, that happens a lot. So we have probably the second meeting in a new relationship with a client is called the Get Organized meeting. And that's where we say, bring us your paper. A lot of times now it's electronic, which is nice too. But no, we've sorted through on unopened envelopes and boxes of statements and whatever we need to pull together so that we have a complete picture of our client's situation. What we're really wanting to accomplish is that all the parts of their financial life and their goals around that financial life are coordinated and consolidated so that we never have a situation where a decision over here might look good in one part of your life, but then have a negative impact on another part of your life. So we're looking from the top down, kind of an umbrella over their whole financial situation.
Right, and we all know people who are such pack rats, right? They keep everything. I recently went to visit a physician and his wife, who were really good friends of ours, and you know, for no fault of their own, Mr. Old Age is coming, and the wife has a little bit of dementia now, and she was like showing us the home, the new house that they bought, but his office had paper up to the ceiling, and we ran out of the room. And I'm like, how do you figure out what's going on in there? And she says, we don't. We just throw things, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot hidden there. So, Rochelle Hood is here for our listeners to tune in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and she is going to tell us a little bit about her company that's called Pink Consulting.
Correct. So my business started probably a different journey than many people, but unexpectedly. I'm 35 years in what most people would call traditional corporate America, working for large multinational organizations. And as part of that, I've always been on a journey of continuous learning, helping share my knowledge with other individuals, so speaking at conferences, being on different programs. And I used to speak for this one particular group, a lot of their conferences, and did a lot of development for curriculum and things for them. And they came to me one day and said, how would you like to come and work for us part-time on the side, in addition to what you're doing? And I was working for a large company headquartered here in Florida, and I thought, let me think about that. I'm like, it sounded like an exciting opportunity, start up a new program, work with all these companies around the world, but can I fit that into my 50-hour-a-week schedule I was already doing? Well, you know, fate turns a hand sometimes. It's something I think we'll talk a lot about today, that there's usually a catalyst that changes something for you, even though you know you're ready for a change and you might not have planned it this way. Well, I said, give me the weekend to think about it, and that following Monday, and the company had to go through another round of cuts, and decided my whole.
I hate when I hear that.
Yes.
Company has to go through cuts. Some person is going to lose a job.
Well, in this case, quite a few. So my entire cost center was cut. And so I said, well, that shut one door. And I called the folks back and said, not only am I going to be available, but if you happen to need more than part-time, I can be there for you.
Yeah.
So what started as I'm going to do a part-time gig for 6 months while I figure out what I wanted to do, turned into Pink Consulting. So 7 years later, you know, we turned seven in May. You know, it's taken me all over the world. I've met more people than I ever thought I would growing up as a small girl in Nebraska. I never even thought of being on an international airplane, much less working with people in a lot of different countries.
Isn't it exciting, though, when one door closes, another one does open?
It is. And I think that, you know, I hope if people walk away with a lot of messages from 2020, but 2020, you know, pandemic was just a catalyst for change. None of us would have wanted it to happen, but I do hope that it creates an opportunity for positive change. It was the catalyst for yet another change for me. I've been focusing entirely on global businesses and large multinationals, and I used to spend a lot of that face-to-face, in person, going around the world and getting to know a lot of different cultures. Got a chance to speak in Trinidad, thinking of you, Sita. But that all stopped. What felt like an hour, you know, in a week, we went from this is something that might be happening in someplace far abroad to it's happening on our doorstep and every doorstep around the world. But what that meant for me was something I've always enjoyed is spending a lot of time supporting small businesses and local business people, especially female entrepreneurs. It now meant that I have an opportunity to do that, and I've been doing that with We Venture and some of their COVID support programs. So I always say there's a quote from a couple different leaders, but it talks about that never waste a good crisis. Winston Churchill was one of the first ones to say that. I think this is an opportunity where people can look at this as a crisis, the pandemic, but let it be a catalyst for a positive change in your life. It certainly has been one for me, and I hope that for everybody else listening to the show today.
Right. Well, you know, I have a cup that I got in England when I was there, I think last year. I think I was in London last year. And it says, keep calm and carry on. But, you know, I never used to pay attention to things written on mugs. And all of a sudden, you're right, during the pandemic, I'm now choosing like a mug for every day. And one of them will say, life is beautiful. But it's amazing. Someone thought of making those mugs with those little sayings on them so that we, when in a time of crisis or depression or loneliness or something bad mm-hmm. happening, you could actually read those and it refocuses your life.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's all you need is to go back within and see what's going on. Because a lot of people were spending so much time at work, they were not home. And now you're seeing families spending time together, even though it's a pandemic. I mean, remember when we used to play snakes and ladders and things like that? People weren't playing, board games anymore. Now they are. So you're sitting as a family. So you're right. It's focused. So Laura, so what are you doing here in town? We have a lot of nonprofits. And you and Rochelle are teaming up and doing a lot of stuff with We Venture and helping all the ladies who would like to open a business, who want to take their passion and turn it into profit.
Yeah. Well, Rochelle, I've attended quite a few and been involved with We Venture or Women's Business Center as it's co-attached to. This is Rochelle currently who's working more closely with them. So you want to share a little bit about what We Venture is?
Yeah. So We Venture, you know, they provide opportunities for entrepreneurs, primarily female. And the unique thing that's going on with them right now is as part of the CARES Act funding, the U.S. government CARES Act funding, they were specifically funded as an agent or an outlet, if you like to think about it that way, from the Small Business Administration. You know, the small businesses are a huge percentage of our internal entire economy and one of the areas hardest hit, whether it's restaurants that had to close, bakeries that can't have their doors open, weddings, you know, people attached to weddings, all different facets of life. And also people in different points in their business career. And what they've done is it's opened the door to all these business coaches who might normally provide this service, as I did and several of the other coaches that have come on board, to other types of clients, are now getting support through the CARES Act funding to deliver those services to these local small businesses. It operates in a couple different ways, so lots of different programs. Go on the website and see it, but sometimes it's webinars, sometimes it's one-on-one mentoring, sometimes it's focused on how do you pivot your business. So there's a lot of businesses that have been going on for a very long time. Anything tied to hospitality and travel is a good example of that, and they just need to think about what would be a new revenue stream? What's a new direction? But I have to say, beyond everything else that we provide, whether it's technical training, advice, coaching, support, new resources, what we really provide is hope. When I talk to any of these clients, they think, I just thought it was all impounding on me. I didn't see how we were going to go on another day, especially as the pandemic went on from 30 days to 60 days to now over 7 months. What we provide is hope, and we provide support. And I'm so thankful just to be one of the coaches that's part of this program. There's a wealth of people, speaking of wealth, there's a wealth of knowledge and a wealth of skills that all come together to provide this support to the WeVenture clients. And to the clients themselves, it's all free because it's paid for by
CARES Act. Well, who would have thought, right? We should have all invested in Zoom. I'm like, this morning I was listening to NPR and they were talking about people who are now buying stocks in Airbnb. Their stocks went up. I'm like, really? Because they went from renting for a couple of days to from short term to long term. And in the pandemic, with people not being able to pay their bills, you know, that's a good thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Laura, one of the questions I had from one of my, on my private message this morning, when someone found out that we were having a wealth coach and talking about financial literacy, was how does money really work? And I think the person was talking more because so many people are having a difficult time and facing such challenges with, because of the pandemic, to pay back their student loans.
Right.
So my thing, of course, being who I am, I said, well, you know, in my culture, we teach this when you're in the womb. You know, Indian people tell you what to do before you were born. Right. But Americans don't really do that. So what do, I mean, there's a lot of people that are falling behind.
Yeah. Well, you know, a couple good topics in there, how money works in general. You know, there's at different stages of life, there's different foundational basic steps that you can take. And, you know, starting off with a plan, having a plan no matter what stage you're at. And that can be, you know, there's some simple things and it sounds a little flip, but, you know, spending less than you make, you know, keeping your debt under control or non-existent, especially in your younger years. You know, we all want to build up credit, but you can do that by having a credit card and then just paying it off every month. You're still building your credit, but not building up big debt. Student loans are a real challenge. People, they're a great resource. They do help people move along, and maybe people who otherwise wouldn't be able to go to college are able to. But it feels a little unreal when you're a young, you know, 20-year-old student taking on this debt, and it slowly grows over time. Even, you know, just you take a little bit every year, just like the compounding of anything. It's a startling moment when you see it all added up together. So the interest rates on student loans are not as low as interest rates that we see out in the world normally.
So people need to pay attention when they sign on the dotted line.
Yeah, and when you sign anything on the dotted line,
right,
you need to read it and, you know, take a moment. Don't get rushed into anything. Don't take it just because it's offered. You know, maybe working a part-time job for your extra spending money versus piling on, you know, $5,000-$10,000 a quarter or a year. It makes more sense in that moment, maybe not, but I would suggest that, you know, speaking to professionals, even the counselors in the college and the financial aid offices are great. And they, both my sister, Julie, and I worked in the financial aid office at UCF when we were students, and there's some really great information and counseling there. And, you know, these are old sayings, but if it looks too good to be true, it might be. And just because you can do it doesn't mean you have to do it. So take your time, take a deep breath. And if now you're in a situation where you have these big loans and it feels hopeless, I think, you know, reaching out for resources. There are some good groups out there that will help potentially refinance. And that's maybe where the, if it looks too good to be true, it might be. You know, don't get pulled into something that is, you know, perhaps not what it appears to be. So you really do have to do your research. You got to be smart and take your time and read what's in front of you.
Yeah. Well, you know, oftentimes I would notice people that, and I'm speaking from personal experience, who would, you know, buy that Starbucks coffee. But you could make the coffee at home and save, you know, $6-7 a day, right? And I've told this story before to my friends. When my husband had his practice, the girls that worked for him would spend $10 to $12 a day on lunch. And one day he sat them down and he said, listen, I would put $12 in a jar every time you all buy lunch. Because he brought a piece of bread and some salad every day. And at the end of the week, he would have $50, $60 in the jar, and they had none. And so he would say to them, you know, if you really need that money for bills or you pay car payments or whatever, bring a lunch. And a lot of people don't think of it that way because it's so convenient just to buy something, you know. And I know we have to support restaurants and people who work in them and stuff, but at some point, you have to look at your own financial situation. Like you said, don't spend what you don't have. Like my mother used to say, don't put your hat where you can't reach it. You know?
Yeah.
And a lot of people do that.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Budgets and planning are important, and I think just taking the time to do that is time well spent. I have a little piece called Five Things for Five Stages for different financial stages of life, and I'd be happy to email that out to anybody who would like to.
Well, do we have
that.
Time for her to tell us about that, Paul? Yeah. Okay, so tell us about it because, you know, people often say to me, like people I work with, people I meet under when I was running for office, whatever, oh, we were never taught how to save money. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave us that kind of education in our household or in our neighborhoods or in our community. And I'm always like, well, why not? I mean, there's so much resources available on the web now and people like you. So maybe if you tell us, someone who's listening, it can make a difference, impact somebody's life.
Yeah, we share this with a lot of our clients, children or other people in their lives, the early stages of this. So, you know, stage one is really young adulthood is where you can start making a difference. And, you know, some of these things I've mentioned, but start a cash, having a cash reserve, avoid high interest rate debt. Start funding some sort of retirement account. And I just want to mention here that if you're married and not working, you can still fund a retirement account if your spouse
like
is
like an IRA, right?
Yes.
The Roth?
Throw that out there. Right. You can pretty much, almost anybody can save if there's household income, you can save for your retirement. So fund an IRA and then start investing, even in just a little piece, and start learning how that works. And the next stage is more middle adulthood. So now you've got these other things kind of handled or pieces of them, and then you can begin to pay down debt. If you have managed to accumulate some high interest rate debt, start paying that down, pay off those credit cards, look at life insurance and disability insurance, put more into your 401k as you start getting in. It's a habit, you know, and begin to increase that habit, begin to fund kids' college costs ahead of time, hopefully, and invest a little more strategically. So those are the first two young, you know, stages of kind of growth for the younger people.
I think the key to all of this is people listening to what you say and acting upon it.
Yeah, they should just listen to everything I say and do it.
Because some people listen, but they don't act on it, right? I mean, when you get good information, you're supposed to act on it. My daughter made me proud, and I didn't, I mean, I was just like in awe. She's like, oh, I maxed my 401k out. I'm like, that's a pretty good thing for a kid to tell you, right?
That's great.
That means you're doing really well, kid. You know?
Yeah,
so I was like, wow, you know. So anyways, but Paul has given me the sign here. So I guess we'll wrap up this first segment. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back with the president of First Way Financial, Laura Cheeseman, Rochelle Hood, and Julie, who's taking pictures.
A Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud9, that's Cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 8 locations serving Brevard County. So if you have an emergency, need a physical, or when your doctor is unavailable, with 8 locations, MedFast offers top quality care that is close by and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MedFast, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. MedFast Urgent Care opens 7 days a week with the convenience of 8 locations serving Brevard County. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Bigee, S-E-E-T-A. It's not S-E-D-A. I always say Sita. It's Sita. Sita Bigee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in Cocoa, Florida. We're on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. And Paul, that's where you come in handy since Ellen is not here.
Okay, there we go. And 1510. WWBC.com, and you also could download the app if you'd like as well and listen to all of our great programming here on WWBC.
What a great first segment we had, Paul. We talked a little bit about loans and Laura's being a president at First Wave Financial and what she does there. We talked a little bit about interest rates. We did a lot of talking about wealth, and I just want our listeners to know that wealth is directly tied to health, right? You want people to be happy and healthy so they could invest in the economy, they can be happy about their lives, and plan for their future. And one of the things you've done in addition to being the president of First Wave Financial, Laura, is you've also written a book to share your information and your knowledge with people who would like to know more about what you've done and how you got here. So tell us about the book.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Sita. Yeah, the focus of this book, it's called It's a Journey, mm-hmm. and the focus there, it's about business succession. So a lot of what we're talking about today has to do with transitions in life, and I talked about 5 stages of personal financial life, which there's a lot that happens throughout the course of your life, and then this book is focused on what to do when you are owner of a successful business, and maybe it could be you know, privately owned, family owned, or have, you know, you have either your family working for you or other people that you've worked with for a long time and care a lot about and care for your clients, and you need to make a plan about that too. So just like other parts of financial life and life in general, planning what to do in the later stages of that business to pass it on to the next generation, or whether that's family or employees, is the focus of this book. And, you know, there's lots of, just like in what to invest in or how to pay your taxes or what to do in all areas of life, there are many good information sources out there and lots of quote-unquote right answers. But what's right for you in any particular situation is really determined by the context of your own life, your own business.
So kind of like you're teaching people how to reset their own financial security.
Well, in general, yes. And this book is about starting with the relationships that you've worked so hard to build up in your business over many years, in many cases decades, and now to protect that business and those relationships while you move it on to the next generation, while you get the great opportunity to move on to your next big adventure.
And watch them enjoy it.
And watch them enjoy your business forward and success like you've been, you know, to carry that success forward.
Right. Because a lot of people always say, well, we hear about the term generational wealth. Mm-hmm. I often ask myself, why isn't this something that we teach in high schools or even middle schools anymore? Mm-hmm. Because people say, well, I wasn't educated on that. What do you say to someone who says, teach me about how generational wealth works?
Well, you know, that's a very family-related issue. And yes, they can teach about money in schools, but I think it's a lot of it involves with conversations that you have at home, whether that's around the dinner table, the examples that you set, engaging your children or other people in your life in conversations about wealth. You know, people shy away from talking about money in this culture anyway. We'll just talk about just about anything else. Maybe I could say politics and money we shy away from.
Yeah, but we shouldn't, though, because you're right.
But we need to share what we know and what we've learned over the years. And that's true in a business as well. One person can't do everything in a business. And so throughout the life of your business, and especially as you move towards transitioning that business, you need to make sure that these people that have been side by side with you all these years also know how to do their part and take over, you know, delegate things to them that they can learn as you go through those later years, and then they get to carry that forward and learn, just like you would teach them about money, teach your family about money.
Right. But in any business, Rochelle, people who want to get ahead, whether it's women in business or men or just anybody in general, you have to have trust. You have to have trust, because if something happens, you have to have somebody who could back you up, right? So what are you seeing when you counsel people and teach them at WeVenture? What are some of the things that the woman that you talk to bring to a business or ask your advice on?
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about trust, because I think to 2 points, to some of the things that Laura's bringing out with her book about succession and planning. Women in general, you know, I'll say that many of the women that I meet, they lack the confidence to put themselves out there, to be able to think that they can truly stand on their own, to be independent. Sometimes they find themselves down that path in life and they didn't expect it. But it is those relationships that we build with our peer network and also with our clients. So speaking about change so much today, for me, building trust with a lot of my clients was looking at them across the table, being next to them as they work through their business situations. I take them through customer journeys, whether it's processes or systems or their marketing or however they touch their clients. And we talk about what's not going right, what has to evolve across time. But that trust comes through, you know, acts of support, acts of the things that we've done together, knowing that I have that with you. Now with us all doing this virtually and on Zoom and on, you know, these little pictures,
yeah, it's
and
hard.
Stuff. It is hard. It is much more difficult. But trusting relationships, once you've built it to that level, I love that Laura brought that up, because it isn't about the commodities that we sell. It isn't about the products that we have.
It's about the respect.
It's
too.
About the respect and yeah. the trust and relationships we've built. And you work so hard to earn that. You work even harder to retain that. So it is important to think about how you might carry that forward. Right.
And at We Venture right now, and even ABWA, all the groups, we're involved in a lot of groups in town that women do motivate each other and empower each other. And we're a good group. We really are. And I think you have to have something within yourself, that self-confidence, that when you walk into a room and there's like-minded people, that people look up to you and say, you know what, you're sharing your knowledge. Because knowledge is power. And a lot of people don't share that knowledge. And we, us four in this room, we do. So when you go to WeVenture or you're helping out at FIT or any place else, how do you portray that to other people, that this is what we expect from women who do well, you know?
Yeah, I think there are a couple things. One is I always start from a point of vulnerability. I was a young girl growing up in a very tiny town in Nebraska. So I didn't have a gift. It wasn't like someone handed me a business.
I think we had a lot of people at AWW in Nebraska before.
Who'd never even heard of it. But you know, you're trying to portray the fact that, you know, if I can do this, anyone can. You know, I put my throat through college. Everything I've done, I've earned myself. You know, I grew up with a mother who worked three jobs until I was out of high school and way into college, right? So I think that's the starting point for me, is that the belief that anyone can do it.
So the experience.
Right, the experience. Yeah. And then, you know, it's sharing the resources. So how did I get there along those journey? But that also includes accountability and making decisions. So similar to what we're talking about with financial wealth, you can get everyone the greatest plan, but if they, in fact, don't choose that for themselves and don't choose to hold themselves accountable, it would have been a lot more fun to go to homecoming or prom than working a second job and doing all the other things I did. But had I not done that, I couldn't have grown up an independent, successful woman if I didn't make some of those sacrifices along the way.
Well, life is about choices, right? So Laura, the name of the book, where we can buy it, and we'd like for you to do a book signing or have an open-air party. I'll volunteer my yard.
Oh, that'd be wonderful, yes. Well, the book will be published in January of 2021, which is a couple of weeks away, but will be sometime in January, and it's called It's a Journey, the Must-Have Roadmap to Successful Succession Planning. And it really is laid out like a roadmap, and it's funny, in wealth management we use the roadmap-type concept. And here it's really, you know, measured, planned steps that you can take, but that you can also adjust as you go, just like when you're on a long trip. You know, you plan ahead, you get your tools, you get your supplies together, you gas up the car, and you've got a road you're going to go on, and sometimes you hit roadblocks and detours, and how to navigate that process, and how to work with the people that you care so much about and lead them through the process, because strong leadership, something we're talking about here kind of in a roundabout way today, gives the potential for other people to follow and to learn and to ascend to other levels of success as well. So that's a very step-by-step process.
How long did it take you to write it?
Oh, boy. Well, it's been about a two-year process.
Was it published before Paul left our planet?
No. Oh,
but he knew about it.
Yet. He did, yes. Okay, my husband, Paul, passed away this year, just a few months ago. And no, I regret that he won't see the final result.
Oh, he will.
But yes, he was very supportive along this journey for me. And we will.
Is it going to be on Amazon or how
it
can
will
people?
Be, yep.
Okay, good,
mm-hmm.
good.
Yep.
Good.
So that'll be in January. And so we'll do a little. We'll do some events and some outreaches about that. And I'm really look forward to. I've written this book with a partner of mine, Elizabeth Ledoux, who I've done business with for many years, and we're really both really excited about this, so we'll you'll see her name here as well.
So, you know, when I see you, Laura Cheeseman, and Julie, and Mary Ellen, and your dad, what I see, such a wholesome family, a family that had challenges but overcame them, obviously, because your mom still works.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how does a family... How does people grow up to be the Allen family? I mean, what is the secret, you know, that your mom is still working at her age?
Yeah.
She has a nonprofit. She's got Genesis House, which we'll talk a little bit. Paul, how much time do we have? We still have? Oh, wonderful. We still have time. Then your dad is highly involved. You've reached out to your siblings to have them involved in your business as well. Such love in that family and unity and respect and integrity for each other. Was it your mom and dad, hard work? What was it?
Yeah, I've thought about that before. You know, we're really
you should write a book about that.
To have. Yeah, that'd be a fun one. You know, we have a lot of kids in our family. We all get along. We all care about each other. But I think that must be, you know, modeled by our parents. They're both very creative, hardworking, both entrepreneurial type people, and very supportive of each other. And they had goals. They still do. They set goals, and they work hard for them. And, you know, it was different back then. I think about it. No one ever said, oh, we expect, you know, that you do really well or do this. It was just sort of like, how you doing? Okay, that's done. You know, they didn't coddle us through it, except when, you know, maybe we had particular issues
they live
we
by
needed
example.
Help. But, yeah.
When I see Mary Ellen, I always think she lives by example.
She
like
does,
this.
Yeah.
And she makes us feel like I'm 55, and I'm like, maybe I should not renew my nursing license. But then I think about your mom. Yes, I will.
Yeah, she's a mental
she's
health counselor.
Giving back.
Still,
she's still
yeah.
giving back
yep.
so much, right?
She does it because she loves it. Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I think a job, as long as you find something that you love, it's not really work, because I actually love being in the nursing home with my patients. I mean, sometimes I have like 22 patients and people come up to me and they want to talk, and I'm like, I can't, I got to give out all these pills and blood pressure and call doctors and stuff. But, you know, it's like they just want 30 seconds of your time.
Right.
Just fix
connections.
Their, yeah.
And bringing value to people.
And a lot of them remind me of old America, when people wanted this country to be great, and they wanted families to thrive, and they wanted people to have a vision to open a business. And, you know, I like what you said about women in business, Rochelle, because my granddaughter and I just made oatmeal bars. And, you know, by the time you buy the oatmeal and buy the milk and the butter and the raisins and everything, you spend about maybe $8, but they sell one of those bars for $12 mm-hmm. downtown Melbourne. So I'm explaining to Madison, I said, you know, we're going to make about 12 to 15 bars with $8. And she said, let me get this straight. So if we were selling this at $12 per bar, we would make a lot of money. And you're right. That's how it starts, at home, around the kitchen table.
Right.
You're teaching finances 101 and opening a business 101, mm-hmm. correct?
Yeah, oh, very much so. I think for most of the successful women and small businesses that I know, it's modeled after some strong person in their life. For me, that was absolutely my mother. You know, I mean, people used to think you had very little, and I always just say, I'm the richest person that exists, because I have my mom who's given her entire life to us to make sure that we can succeed, so that we can see that hard work, you know, pays off. But whenever she had a day off, she always chose 100% to spend all that time with us. And she taught us to bake and all these kind of things, and 4-H, you know, worked 6 days a week and still was a 4-H leader.
Yeah.
So she taught us that there's a reason, but there should never be an excuse. All those things that you add up are excuses, but unless you have a reason that you can't do it, like you actually have a broken leg or something like that, there's no reason that you know, that's just an excuse that you can't be here today. So she set a model and an icon and a bar that I continuously throughout my entire life try to reach up to. But I am so thankful I had that at home, and I see that in the Allen family. Every time I see the Allen family, that's what I think is,
yeah,
I want to continue
show,
to see. I want to be an adopted Allen child. That's what I always say.
You know what? But my grandchild is going to be an Allen. They're related. So, but why, Laura? Why do you think people are so uncomfortable to talk about finances? We were poor. I didn't have my first pair of shoes till I was 12 years old. But my father talked about finances at home. We knew the word overdraft before I was 3 years old. I knew what it meant when our goods didn't sell and my father had to pay the bank. Yeah. We didn't have the money. Mm-hmm. He taught all his children about business. What is it about? I mean, this is the greatest country in the world where people can have anything they want and aspire to achieve. Why people don't have that conversation?
Well, I'm not a psychologist or a sociologist.
You can ask Mary Ellen.
I could ask Mary, yeah. But I just think it's a feeling of, you know, privacy and security and maybe insecurity. People don't think they know the right answer, so they're, you know, holding it in. I think, like most things, you can start with little steps, incremental information. And if you don't feel like you have enough information to pass on to your children, then go get some resources. Learn something yourself, because that, you know, will be good for you as well. So,
but as
I
you
think
sit
it's just
at your table and you're writing your checks out, or you're paying your bills online,
yeah,
you could have your kids and say, this is what we're paying for the rent, this is the utility. You know, you could teach them that way, right? But how did Mary Ellen teach you all about nonprofits? How did you all get involved in Genesis House?
Yeah. So Genesis House is shelter homes for homeless women and children, and now even for some older adults and they're helping funding some housing for some men in the community too, now that homelessness is an issue. You know, that's really, again, by example. You know, it was a passion of hers. It's been a volunteer undertaking of hers, and now like, the family as it extends into the next generation. And like most things, it's by example and dedication. And I've tie that into some of the other things we've been talking about. It, you know, mentoring. That's all about mentoring those women. And I think maybe we don't realize how much our examples and light, low-key mentoring can make a difference for people. And
it's
so
just
I think
way
that's
of
in
life.
Families.
It became a way of life for Mary Ellen, right?
Sure.
So when she would come home and tell you guys about a person that's having a baby and have nowhere to go, and she wants to help this person with this pregnant woman, what did the children at home say? I mean, Mom, here you go again, or where are we going to put them off? How would you do it?
Well, we did hear a lot. You know, there were a lot of phone calls, and she was very involved still to this day. So, no, I think it was a natural part of our life. And we were young when it started, and it was just like part of the deal. You know, we might have begrudged some trips around town where we had to stop and run a lot of errands, but some of those had to do with Genesis House. Some were just life when you have lots of children.
Yeah.
But no, we were all either involved or at least supportive as we got older through the years.
But then you see the value of what she's doing, because you see so many success stories. Sure. Yep. And you see the woman thriving, and you see the children. I mean, it impacted a lot of us at ABWA whenever you guys got us involved in it, and it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But tell our listeners about Genesis House. You have three houses.
Yep, three houses in downtown
and
Melbourne.
And it's a nonprofit, and how they can donate if they wanted to.
Yes, genesishousefl.org, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe you could confirm that website for me. So the website's got a donation section. There's lists of things that items they could use, and then also cash, of course, is always helpful. But no, three homes and a boutique downtown, which we're developing. It's been open for several years now to also be self-supporting as an organization as well. Of course, we have grants and people donate, and that's been the foundation of the success for Genesis House over the 43 years, I believe, that it's been in existence. So we've got a home for pregnant women, students, and women with children.
And where does she find her referrals?
My gosh, they never stop. You know,
really?
You know, 211, other organizations, they refer between organizations. And I do just want to mention, too, that they're now helping women over 65, I believe, maybe over 62,
Who
are homeless
for
transitional housing, which is a big issue now in town.
And Genesis House, for our listeners who are tuning in, they also employ people to help these women, children, and elderly people. So we do need the donations so we can the paid staff. And
Yes.
I mean, there are costs associated with it, right?
Yeah.
So any events that are happening right now that if somebody wants to help, they can help with?
Online, you'll see some online events. We're doing a champion program where people can donate. But you know, right now, of course, there's no in-person events and things like that. We are working on next year's, hopefully, golf tournament sometime in 2021. Hopefully we can get back to some of those. But the website and Facebook have great information. So yes, it is genesishousefl.org is the website.
Oh my, great. A lot of information today.
You.
I know. I just love your family. You guys all took me in, the little gal from Trinidad. I'm one of the Allen family, too. So, Rochelle, how does a person take this vision like Mary Ellen did? I mean, here she's working full-time. She's, what, how old is she? 70-something, right? We won't say. But she, I mean, here she's working, right? She's got all the children. She's got the nonprofit. And she inspires so many of us in this community that if I have an idea that's bouncing in my head, all I have to think of is Mary Ellen, and I will do it. So, I mean, what is it about her that and women like her that inspires and motivates so many of us to go out and be part of a community? I feel like the community's mine.
Yeah, I think Mary Ellen and the entire Ellen family, good to the core. So the thing is, intrinsically, it's their value system. It's who they actually are. They're genuine, they're authentic, they're real. And for me, that's a huge part of it. But also, regardless of what they faced in life, They've always overcome those obstacles. So I think if there's one thing, when we look at folks like this, it's easy to say, oh, the pandemic, you know, created this for me, or, you know, we have five times more calls than we ever did before. They still answer the phone. You find a way. And I think if the pandemic teaches us another thing, it's to be very innovative about finding other resources and other channels. And sometimes it means letting go of stuff that we've had for a very long time. But in order to continue to serve and serve more and greater people, you have to constantly relook at the way in your own business, in your life, in your nonprofit, because nonprofits, the needs always just go up. Right. I know there's a nonprofit that we're just starting to mentor through the We Venture program right now. And, you know, they're in a situation where, because of people being at home, they will have doubled their numbers in just a year. But no more funding comes in, that kind of thing.
So you have to find creative ways.
You have to be creative and look
at
other channels.
So, Laura, we have, 2 minutes left. First, I want to thank you for coming on and sponsoring the segment from First Wave Financial. Rochelle Hood, thanks for being here with Pink Consulting.
My pleasure.
I got to finally in the end. And Julie's here. And all regards to your mom for raising terrific kids and inspiring all of us. And I know it's always been challenging for all of us. I'm one of 18. I understand that.
Mom and dad.
Yes, and your dad, who we just saw recently, who enjoyed our company at the
group,
Christmas
group
party.
Group effort.
But give us the website for First Wave Financial so some people can go on and learn all the good things you're doing. And again, for Genesis House.
Yep, firstwavefinancial.com, all spelled out, no dots or dashes. And genesishousefl.org.
And Rochelle, your experience all over the world really enlightens all of us at ABWA. Give us the website for your business as well.
Sure. So it goes with a little jingle. When you want Pink Consulting to help you, think Pink Consultants. So thinkpinkconsultants.com.
There's a singer called Pink, too. So, Paul, what a great show we've had with Laura Chaseman, president of First Wave Financial, Rochelle Hood, her sister Julie. We learned so much. I feel like the show went by too fast. We'll have to bring them back again. Thank you, and take it away from there, Paul. Tell our listeners how to get the podcast that you just taped.
Absolutely. Well, that podcast should be available on our website here, hopefully within about 10 minutes. And that, again, is at 1510wwbc.com. So that's going to do it for today. And join us again at the same time, same channel next week right here for another edition of Sita and Friends.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.